Volunteering for this Sunday.
Well, let me start off with this. Y'all know what a BOGO is.
Yeah.
And I'm not talking about that little crispy, crusty thing that comes out of your schnoz once in a while.
Oh.
I'm talking about a BOGO, the acronym, buy one,
get one.
Yeah. You pay full price for the first pizza, and then the second pizza of equal or lesser value is free. Well, today in the verses in Matthew, we actually, Jesus is going to give us one lesson and then another lesson for free. The lesson that we pay for is authority, and then the one we get free is a lesson on obedience. So two in one. Our verses for today are Matthew chapter 21, and we're starting with verse 23. We'll eventually go all the way through 32. Matthew 21, 23. This first lesson is on authority. When Jesus returned to the temple and began teaching, the leading priests and elders came up to him. They demanded, quote, "By what authority are you doing all these things? What gives you, who gave you the right?" And when I read that, I thought, what a bunch of whiny babies. The chief priests and elders sound like that rebellious toddler that is yelling at the parents saying, "You not the boss of me." You see, Jesus had started teaching his Sunday school lesson in the temple, and everyone in the crowd was intently listening. They were hanging on every word. And I'm thinking, can you imagine what an inspiring, amazing, knowledgeable teacher Jesus was? I don't know if it's like this, but picture Aristotle, Isaac Newton, Dr. Martin Luther King, Billy Graham, and Pastor Bob, all wrapped up into one. Maybe it was something like that, probably even better. But the pompous priests and elders stood up and interrupted Jesus' teaching in mid-sentence. They demanded to know where he went to college. Was it their prestigious alma mater? Was he the valedictorian of Jerusalem's top seminary? Was he recruited by a university with a full-ride scholarship? Or did he even graduate high school? By what authority do you come into our temple and teach? Again, the scripture says it this way. The chief priests and the elders demanded, by what authority are you doing these things? I'm guessing Jesus may have paused before he responded with his infinite wisdom. You see, if Jesus had said his authority came from God, then they would accuse him of blasphemy. On the other hand, if he said that he was acting on his own authority, the congregation in the temple would be convinced that the Pharisees had the greater authority. So, Jesus answered them with a seemingly unrelated question that exposed their real motives. You see, they really didn't want an answer to their question. They only wanted to trap him. But Jesus was about to demonstrate to the Pharisees the truth, but only if that truth supported their own views and causes. So just watch how clever Jesus is with this response. In verse 24, Jesus said, "Okay, I'll tell you by what authority I do these things if you answer one question." So instantly, Jesus goes from seminary professor to game show host in my mind. He's Monty Hall and says, "Let's make a deal." He's Alex Trebek, and he's giving them a clue to Final Jeopardy. He's Steve Harvey, and he's about to win this Jewish family feud. So here's the question Jesus tells the religious leaders they must answer before going to the bonus round. It's verse 25. Jesus is asking these religious leaders, "Did John's authority to baptize come from heaven, or was it merely human? Well, the Pharisees were puzzled. Was this supposed to be some type of a trick question? The question they were asking was about Jesus' authority, not the authority of John the Baptist. Verse 25 continues. They talked it over themselves. If we say it was from heaven, he will ask, why didn't we believe John? But if we say it was merely human, we'll be mobbed because the people believe John was a prophet. So, I'm going to use a sports analogy that's relevant to something that just happened in the football world. Here's how I see this event that's just happened. The Kansas City chief priest takes on the role of quarterback. He tells his team to huddle up. It's halftime at the Super Bowl, and they are way behind. So they review their playbook. Should we run up the middle through the A gap? Should we go with the wildcat? Or should we use the spread offense to find holes in the zone and isolate man coverage? Now the chief priests and the other leaders thought through all their options and decided none of those plays would work. And it was at that point they decided to pass. There we go, we dropped the ball. Incomplete. So, verse 27 says this. So they finally replied to Jesus saying, we don't know. We don't know the answer to your question. And you know me, I see things that you don't see in Scripture. All of a sudden I see Jesus, at Notre Dame, he was the real touchdown Jesus. The religious leaders were defeated. He must have been pointing in their direction and yelling, booyah, and started giving his disciples high fives while dancing in the end zone. He must have said, it's game over, boys. The eagle has landed. So, after they couldn't give Jesus an answer to his question, he says this to those corrupt religious leaders, which is verse 27. After they said they didn't know how to answer his question, he says, then I won't tell you by what authority I do these things. Remember at the beginning of the message, one event, two lessons. So this first lesson for us to learn with confidence is that Jesus has authority. And let me show you some verses in the Bible that confirm this. And the first one is Matthew 28:18. In fact, there'll be so many verses. I don't know if Ron will be able to keep up, so we'll see what gets on the screen. But if not, just listen. Matthew 28:18. Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Now, did you catch that operative word, all? Jesus says that he has all authority. But you might ask, well, who gave him the authority? And the answer is, God the Father gave it to him. You might answer, how do we know that? Again, the Bible supports it with several scriptures, and I'm going to go through those fairly quickly. The first one is Matthew 11:27, and I'm going to emphasize a key word. My Father has entrusted everything to me. Everything. And then John 3:35, the Father loves his Son and has put everything into his hands. What's the key word again? Everything. And then John 13:3. Jesus knew that the Father had given him authority over what? Everything. And that he had come from God and would return to God. So far, all three of those verses. Everything, everything, everything. Well, let's go to Ephesians 1:20-21. It was God's power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. Now he is far above any ruler or authority or power or leader or anything else. And not only in this world, but also in the world to come. Now, while the word isn't there, that tells me he has authority everywhere. So far, it's everything and everywhere. We know the Bible tells us that God raised Jesus from the dead, that God then seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. God said that his Son is far above all rule, all authority, all power, all dominion. The Bible tells us that God said that the name of Jesus is above every name. Well, here's one more verse from John chapter 17, verses 1 and 2, that tells about where Jesus' authority comes from. Jesus looked up to heaven and said, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son so that he can give glory back to you, for you have given him authority over everyone." So it's everything, everywhere, everyone. In fact, I put it like this. The bottom line takeaway for us is to know that God the Father gave God the Son all authority over everything and everyone, everywhere. So as we conclude this first lesson, maybe you, like the priests and the elders, wondered where Jesus got his authority. And now we all know. So let's move on to the next lesson in this one event. And it's a lesson on obedience. Jesus will use a parable to teach us to make the point. And the scripture now is our last verses in Matthew 28 to 32 of chapter 21. Again, Jesus is speaking to the religious leaders and elders. Verse 28. "But what do you think about this?" Now he tells a story. "A man with two sons told the older boy, 'Son, go out and work in the vineyard today.' The son answered, 'No, I won't go.' But later he changed his mind and went anyway. Then the father told the other son, 'You go.' And he said, 'Yes, sir, I will.' But he didn't go. Which of the two obeyed his father?" They, the priests and elders, they replied, "Well, the first." Then Jesus explained his meaning. He said, "I tell you the truth, corrupt tax collectors and prostitutes will get into the kingdom of God before you do. For John the Baptist came and showed you the right way to live, but you didn't believe him, while tax collectors and prostitutes did. And even when you saw this happening, you refused to believe him and repent of your sins." You see, the son who said he would obey and then didn't represented many of the people of Israel in Jesus' day. And Jesus was probably looking directly into the eyes of those religious leaders while telling this story. You see, they said they wanted to do God's will, but they constantly disobeyed. Excuse my language, but I'd say they were phony balonies, would you? They were just going through the motions. Well, the application for us is to know that it is dangerous to pretend to obey God when our heart is far from him. God knows our true intentions, and our actions must align with our words. True obedience means our actions and our words need to align with God. And so the question I guess I have for myself, and maybe you think this too, how do we do that? How do we get our words and actions to align with God? Well, again, the key word is align, so let's just make it simple. The simple answer is we need to make sure we get spiritual alignments scheduled regularly. Just like our vehicle needs to be taken to a mechanic for alignment, so we need to take our life to the Lord for spiritual alignments. And just like our car needs that done every so many miles, our life needs that done every so many months or weeks or days or maybe sometimes every few minutes. For vehicles, wheel alignments are especially important if you drive on these roads in Indiana. Can I get a hallelujah? And that's most of us, all of us here. But for Christians, spiritual alignments are especially important if you live in this world, and that's everybody. That's everybody. Now, for me personally, I take my F-150 to a Ford dealership. And you'll be impressed to know this. They typically use a Rotunda brand wheel alignment machine. And this is the standard alignment system provided by Ford dealerships. It features advanced technology and specific calibrations designed for Ford vehicles. You can thank the internet for that exact information. Now, of course, you can always go the DIY route. Do it yourself. Once again, according to the internet, to do it yourself on a wheel alignment for your vehicle, it simply requires these things: an angle iron, two tape measures, wrenches, screwdrivers, and some other hand tools. Sounds easy? But I'm guessing none of us have ever tried that. Mike, you may have. Who knows? But most of us, we've never tried that, and we won't do it. I know I wouldn't. Well, that's with a car. What about with our life? Trying to get in alignment with God. You can try the DIY route and use spiritual, worldly alignments. In fact, that's what most people do. They just use worldly things to try to get in line spiritually. According to the worldview, all you need is this: self-control, determination, patience, self-reflection, journaling, connecting with nature, and actively aligning your thoughts and actions and values with your higher purpose. Can we all just say, Well, let me finish with this. Wouldn't it be more effective to go directly to the person who created you and who is equipped to maintain you? For Christians, we can only travel that straight and narrow road by aligning with God's will. It seems like we've talked about God's will a lot, even in the prior sermons here lately. And how do we do that? How do we stay in alignment with God's will? Well, we do it through prayer, through meditation, through studying Scripture, and even Sunday mornings is part of that. We're studying Scripture when we're here doing this. Then you have your own study time. And then it's living a righteous life. Living life to become more like Jesus every day. A car needs an alignment if it pulls to one side, if the steering wheel is crooked, or the tires wear unevenly. A Christian needs an alignment if our thoughts and actions are pulling away from God, if we feel we're being steered in the wrong direction, or if we notice abnormal wear and tear on our heart for God. And so I'll leave you with this. Do you need a spiritual alignment? If so, just make an appointment with God, and he'll get it corrected right now, right quick and in a hurry, I think is the phrase I've heard before. Let me pray. Father, thanks for telling stories stories that make a point, stories that can help us to live that life for you, that righteous life. And Lord, I pray that we are all spiritually aligned with you and according to your will. But if we're not, I think we have some ideas of how to get it corrected. And to know that just living in this world, things bump us out of alignment. So it's not something that's once and done. It's a constant thing that we need to be thinking about and doing. And thank you for your plan of how to get that done. And now I ask you to bless us so that we can be blessed and we can be a blessing. And everyone said, amen. Well, be sure to grab a donut on your way out.
Find out from if I don't want some. I'm gonna let you handle it.